This is Matt Wells at UN News. With monsoon rains threatening to flood Rohingya megacamps in Bangladesh, the World Food Programme, WFP, is leading a UN-wide effort to relocate around 30,000 refugees to higher ground. Close to a million have fled over the border with Myanmar to escape violence since last August, but the makeshift camps where most live are likely to be deluged by monsoon rains, increasing the likelihood of disease outbreaks and food shortages, said WFP spokesperson in the Bangladeshi city of Cox's Bazar, Shelley Thackrell. She explained to Fatima E. Mendez how WFP and other agencies were turning hilly land donated by the government into usable campground.
So we're already in cyclone season, which will sort of probably take us up to the beginning of June. And with that is then heavy rains, which will start probably through till October. Now, what we know already is that the assessment has been done that at least 200,000 people are probably at risk from flooding, from landslides. They call this the mega camp. I mean, people live closely together, shelters are extremely flimsy and have been made in areas where there is very little drainage. The flow of water tends to kind of, you know, sit in one area. The little rain that we've had so far over the last couple of weeks when we've gone to the camps, either the morning after and we've seen, you know, children waist high in the water. The water's dirty. It's sort of stagnant. You know, that a lot of it is very unclean. That's a risk. That's, you know, that's a massive public health risk of outbreak of disease. You know, what we're trying to do is really make land that's been made available to us from the government of Bangladesh. Earlier this year in March, about 800 acres of land was allocated to WFP, to UNHCR and to IOM to relocate an estimate of about 30,000 refugees. And this land includes hills and valleys and steep slopes. Only a small portion of this is workable. But what we've been able to do, and WFP has taken the lead on the earthworks. So what that means is having, you know, the very large excavator digger machines, about 76 of them, to really make that land much more usable, leveling it. They call it cut and fill. So, you know, from a vantage point, if you were to stand at one top of the camp, you know, what you can now see, as far as the eye can see, in the first phase is about 60 acres. Which will be made usable for UNHCR and IOM to then start building safe shelters for people to move families. Some of the families have already started to be moved out of harm's way to safer parts of the existing camp. As we continue to work well into the monsoon season, we will prepare this newly prepared land and also make sure that there are resources, there's food distribution centres, there are health clinics, there are schools close to families that will need to be moved. I mean, don't forget, these families have already witnessed and experienced, you know, a fair amount of transition in the short amount of time that they've been in Bangladesh. So we need to make it as comfortable as possible for them, in the sense that we need to tell them the risks that might come from heavy rain. They understand cyclones, having lived in Rakhine in Myanmar, but because they lived on flatter ground, they have no idea really of what flash flooding is or landslides. You know, none of them have ever lived in an area which is so densely populated and overcrowded. And, you know, their shelters are sort of stacked into the sort of the hillside, which sort of very sadly, the prospect of when the heavy rains do come, that this will make it sort of very, you know, very, very frightening for a lot of families. And which is why we need to move families to safer, usable land as quickly as possible. And, you know, another thing that WFP is doing is, when it comes to food security, when it comes to food access, you know, we're building bridges. We have a team of global engineers and also working with local engineers here in Bangladesh, preparing the land for safer relocation and fortifying embankments and cleaning some of the drainage channels so that there is a passage for water to flow more freely, and also working with Rohingya refugees and host communities who are also helping us to do some of that labour, to helping us to make some of that land usable. So there is a sort of cash incentive there for us to be able to give back to the community so that we can do this work, build a skill set, and obviously sort of give work and an opportunity to some of the community, you know, who are here, who ordinarily, you know, don't, especially the Rohingya refugees, they don't ordinarily have access to other employment.
What is needed to continue WFP's work?
I would definitely say money. You know, we do need about $230 million for the end of this year. We need to be able to provide food, and we need to be able to continue to make sure that there's access to food. And we need to just basically support the government of Bangladesh as much as is possible, as much as the Rohingya refugees continue to live in Cox's Bazar, in this MIAGA camp. They need food, they need shelter, they need access to clean water, they need access to health. And one of WFP's, you know, main role is to work as quickly as possible, as fast as possible, to make sure that, you know, in the event of severe heavy rain or any severe weather, that if refugees are cut off, that we're able to get, you know, food to them, or emergency supplies, non-food items to families, to children, as quickly as possible.
Can you tell us exactly when the monsoon season starts in Bangladesh and how long it lasts?
So we expect the monsoon season to start in early June. So that's, you know, that's a matter of weeks away. We don't have very much time, and it most likely lasts until October. So I came last October and there were still heavy rains. I was still seeing heavy rains well into sort of late October. So it's a long season. There are days when it will rain maybe for half an hour, and there's probably days where it will rain for 2 to 3 hours. But you can absolutely be sure that when you are in the camps, because of the very nature of how the soil is, as soon as the rain hits, it becomes like mud. It's sticky mud. That's difficult to walk in. That's difficult to get cars through. What we are working to do with WFP is to have a porter system, so to also be able to have people who can carry food assistance and other emergency supplies on foot through the camp as needed, and to think of all possibilities. Again, WFP is operational. You know, we're at the heart of logistics. We do everything from, you know, if we need boats, if we need helicopters. But, you know, we will do everything that's logistically possible to make sure that we get food to people who might be at risk of being cut off.
Is there a personal story of someone that WFP has helped in the camp to illustrate your work with them?
Yeah, only last week, actually, I was some of the work that WFP does is we work with some of the local community. And it is around, as I mentioned, you know, whether it's about making the roads safer or strengthening roads, you know, watering the soil or carrying baskets of soil so that we can strengthen our general food distribution points or our shops. And I talked to a group of women in one part of the camp, and they shared some of their concerns for the upcoming monsoon. And one of their fears was that their houses will be destroyed. And remembering that they've already sort of been through this, you know, less than a year ago, where they saw their houses being burnt in Myanmar. And a number of them who said that they know about the risks about shelters, and they absolutely understand that there will be heavy rain. But they fear, you know, the water coming into their homes. They fear their roofs will just fly off in the heavy storms. And just, you know, that they worry about the injuries that might cause, and just the disruption. They talked about, well, you know, we've been taught how to strengthen some of our shelters. Some of them say, well, in some situations, you know, perhaps if, you know, they knew other women whose husbands had been killed, fathers of children who'd been killed in Myanmar. So if you think about, you know, women only households, you know, their biggest concern there was, who's going to help us? You know, what about our children? How are we going to protect them from all the risks that they might face during the monsoon? One of the ladies even shared her own plan. She said that, you know, I'm collecting plastic sheets to put on the roof during the monsoon, and I'm going to peg them to the ground. She said, I'm going to hammer them to the ground. I've asked the sort of local Maji, who's a sort of local leader, the local help community leader, to help me with this. And she said, you know, I hope that hopefully it will reduce the chance of my roof flying off. The last thing I want to do is kind of, you know, hurt anybody else. But really the common concern is around cooking. At the moment, what we're seeing is a lot of children going into the forest. As you know, the mega camp is situated around what was a forest 6 months ago. So children going into the forest to collect firewood. They go early morning, they spend half a day, and they come back with their firewood. But it goes very quickly, you know, two or three bundles last probably 2 or 3 days. And during the rainy season, you know, this is very difficult to keep dry. They're worried about, well, how will we cook? We have food, but, you know, what will be our source of fuel? How will we be able to manage? So, again, one of the things WFP is really looking to address is alternative sources of fuel, and to be able to supply stoves with liquid petroleum gas for them to cook, expand some of the community kitchens as well. So that basically means an open kitchen with three or four cooking stoves where families can go and cook their food and they can stay with their children. And also just expanding some of the kitchens that already provide wet food for women and children, especially on a daily basis, and preventing families having to go into the forest to collect firewood.
What can our listeners do to help?
I think what's important is to see how you can donate money. Is there some organization that you are particularly close to, whether it's about helping children or providing food or even thinking about how can my donation make a difference? And that should be done on an individual basis, however families or people feel that they like to see their money being spent. But also just remembering that this situation, unfortunately, probably won't go away very soon. And like, unfortunately, many, many crises globally in the world now, they tend to make headlines and then they tend to go in and out of sort of media headlines. But it's just about having that awareness, and whether it's about talking together in, you know, in your own discussion groups or through social media or at schools or in your own environment, just about, you know, again, what kind of pressures we can continue to put on to make sure that this community of people is looked after. And also to remember how hospitable and how kind the government of Bangladesh has been all throughout this. You know, they've opened their doors. The refugees have crossed into Bangladesh, which isn't a particularly well-developed country. It's not a well-off country. It still has its own issues around poor nutrition, poor education, sanitation. So just also remembering a little can be done and it can also go a long way.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners?
I'm always so impressed by the resilience of the people here. You still see children, you know, smiling and playing and people, you know, doing a daily routine. And I think it's just worth remembering that whatever we've been able to do, I think that it really is appreciated. I think, you know, everybody who's in their small way, who's paid attention to this situation, who's thought about it, who's read about it, who's talked about it, who's donated money towards the Rohingya response here. I think it's important for your listeners to also know that people here are very thankful and they are very touched also by, you know, people's generosity.